Discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. You should always consult with an investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through J.W. Cole Financial, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI, an SEC-registered investment advisor. 674 South College Avenue, Bloomington, Indiana.
Good evening and welcome everyone to Your Money with David Hayes, Doug Hughes, live in studio on this frigid February evening.
You think
evening.
This is frigid, man?
Is anything that's below 25 degrees.
I got up this morning, by the way. This is Jim Inman.
I was going to say, by the way, Jim Inman is live in studio with me. Good morning, or good evening, Jim.
It's okay. Good morning, good evening, whatever time you're listening to the
Absolutely.
Show.
Absolutely.
I got up this morning and thought, okay, we're going to have snow. Finally this winter, we're going to have something. I don't think you could make a 3-inch snowman with all the stuff that we got overnight. And by noon, 1 o'clock, it pretty much had melted off.
Jim, I know you're a snowman.
I am.
You're a snowman. Has this winter been disappointing to you? I remember in the fall, you were so looking forward. The willy worms were brown, black, brown.
My
and you were telling me it was going to be
the pendulum
a big year.
Was completely on the one end of the line last year, and it's completely on the opposite end this winter. And that's okay for a lot of people. I personally would prefer a little bit of white snow and all of that. I need a snow day on a Monday or a Friday would be great.
Yeah.
But it's okay. It's all okay. Right. So I'm glad to be here, brother.
Well, it is great to have you in studio, Jim. David is away on an event right now, and so we're going to be making sure that the show goes on.
Yes.
The show goes on. Absolutely. So we're going to have a great show today, Jim. We're going to actually be talking about retirement readiness or the accumulation side of things. I know on the program we talk a lot about income distribution planning and IRA planning, but we want to spend some time tonight talking about the accumulation side of things, really interesting numbers that have been coming out over the last couple of years with a lot of surveys that we want to talk about. But before we get into our show, let's talk about some news and views of the week. First of all, we would be remiss if we did not talk about the Super Bowl that happened Sunday.
Rough game, regardless of what you think. The last 3 minutes between the fumbled-up catch by Seattle and then the turnover in the last 20-some seconds there with 1 yard to go with the Patriots. It is what it is. It's been discussed, but a phenomenal game. And regardless of which side you like,
it was a great game of football. There were a lot of commercials. I think the commercials were $4.5 million per 30-second commercial. Mm-hmm. Which was your favorite?
To be honest, I would say probably the Coca-Cola one where it pours into the computer system and everybody feels the groove, if you will.
Yeah.
I did not see, but I think there was a commercial from McDonald's about the passing the love along.
Passing the love along.
And I've actually had a few friends in Bloomington
that passed the love along
and got their free meals, free drinks, things like that this week. So
good deal. Good deal.
What about you?
I have to admit, perhaps I'm shallow in this, but the Doritos commercial where the guy was sitting in the airplane and there was a seat in the middle between him and someone else.
Uh-huh.
And there was a gentleman, a bigger gentleman first in line, and he was holding up a book, you know, saying how to get over a cold. And he was doing everything he could until he saw a pretty blonde lady. And then he pulls out this bag of Doritos and kind of shakes it a little bit. And she's like, oh, yeah, I'll sit there. And as soon as she gets there, it's her and she has a baby with her. I thought that was pretty clever. That was pretty good.
You know, I think it seems like the Super Bowl ads this year got a lot of negative feedback, though, because there were a lot of they weren't the celebratory normal things. And again, it's whatever floats your boat.
There were some great commercials.
I heard though that you were the left shark in the act. It's at
that
halftime.
That was why you couldn't get a hold of me over the weekend. I had flown.
Our producer Jim is quietly cracking up behind the studio.
Why the left shark got all the attention? I don't know, but I heard about this.
I have a feeling that Halloween costumes in 2015 there will be a lot of left sharks
out there. So that's good.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of left sharks, Jim, the markets were pretty crazy. In January,
you know, you matter can of fact, connect anything.
Yes,
Doug,
matter
you
of fact,
can.
we had, and actually, the market was down. The S&P was down 3% in the month of January. It's a pretty volatile month, and so to address that and talk about that, we're gonna have Mr. Rod Holloway come in after the break to kind of talk about the volatility of the markets, what's been going on, all time highs, and then kind of where the sectors have been hot and where they haven't been. So we're gonna go ahead and take a break. And Jim, when we come back, Rod Holloway is gonna join us. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Doug Hughes live in studio anchoring things down as David is on an event this week. And we're going to be talking about accumulation and the reality of what's going on. Some very interesting numbers, Jim, when we look on the horizon as to what people are saving and how they're accumulating, where they're putting those dollars and where they're not putting those dollars. Maybe more interesting is what people are saying is causing them not to be able to plan for retirement. But before we get to that, the markets have been on a wild ride this week. And so I asked our good friend and our frequent commentator, Mr. Rod Holloway, Equity Portfolio Manager at Comprehensive Financial Consultants Institutional, to join us. Rod, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, Doug.
Good, good. Boy, what a week we've had in the markets.
Yeah, it has been a little bit crazy. It really started near the end of last year. It's really something that has been somewhat expected, the increased volatility and the increased movements. The market's no longer extremely cheap to where it was just kind of a no-brainer. Almost every stock was going to go up regardless of their earnings or how well they ran their company. Now you're actually getting to the point to where companies have to perform well on a quarterly basis. They have to be efficient with how they're using their dollars and their employees. And if they're not, the market is punishing them. And in addition to that, the market is also whipsawing around based on headline news. Many of these headline news really have no impact on the broad market and the long-term global economic strength or lack thereof in Europe, if you're looking at the international markets. But still, short-term, the market it has been violently moving based on that. And a lot of that's because really who's playing in the market for the most part is the institutional guy, and he's just in there trading. He's not a buy-and-hold guy. He's not planning for retirement, looking 20 years out. He's buying for today, tomorrow, maybe a week out, but he's not in there for the long haul.
Rod, what kind of things are we seeing as far as sectors? When we, you know, oftentimes we talk about the market and people just see the Dow on TV or they see the S&P on TV and those returns, and those are kind of the blurbs. But can you break down a few sectors and kind of some surprising sectors through last year and what really kind of caused those surprises?
Sure. You know, your top three sectors from last year were healthcare, REITs, real estate investment trusts, and utilities. Now, healthcare, it's a little more understandable. I mean, you have growth going on. You have new things being introduced in the marketplace, especially out of biotechnology. You know, they're working really hard at trying to, if not cure some of the major diseases we have, at least prolong life for people that have it or make the life while they are ill a little bit better. So that's kind of understandable. Of course, there were some changes and things that went on due to the implementation of Obamacare. Some not necessarily good for everybody, but others turned out to be a benefit for many. That was good. The real shock and surprise really came down to utilities and REITs. Utilities a little bit more than REITs. They both returned almost 30% last year. Now, the reason I say utilities is more surprising than REITs, they are both considered interest rate sensitive stocks, meaning they pay pretty good dividends. So it's a place that people will look to get income. And of course, right now, especially our retirees that are living on fixed income, they're having trouble finding that income because interest rates are so, so low. So at the beginning of 2014, it was anticipated that the 10-year treasury would go up, which that would cause interest rate sensitive investments, predominantly bonds, to go down. REITs and utilities fall into that category. Now, REITs have the ability to have some growth because a REIT company can go out and buy additional real estate. They can develop real estate maybe that they've already owned, so they can generate new revenue. Utilities typically are not considered growth because they're capped on how much they can charge for the electricity usage that people are taking. They have to go to the government and ask, hey, we need to increase our rates, and they have to prove that it's a valid reason, not just because they want bigger profits, but because their expenses have gone up or their infrastructure is way past due to be upgraded, and they need to put some money into the infrastructure so that they can have good delivery. So typically with utilities, you get a little bit of appreciation, and you mainly own it for the dividends, which can be anywhere from 4 to 6%, sometimes a little bit higher than that. Well, last year you threw a 30% appreciation on top of that, and that was completely unexpected and nothing that anybody predicted at the beginning of the year.
You know, when I think back to the beginning of 2014, and Rod, you and I, we discussed it. We heard it from a lot of commentators, economists, chief investment officers at different firms talking about the 10-year going to 3, and was this going to be the year of the bond bubble? It never really quite worked out that way, did it?
No, it did not. And that's the other area from the interest rate sensitive talk that everybody anticipated. Everybody talked about shortening your duration, have less risk in longer term bonds. And what was the best performing sector? Well, the 30-year treasury, the longest bond from the government that you can buy, what was your top performing sector last year, because interest rates did not move up as everybody predicted. They went down, and not only did they go down and they set a record on the 10-year for being low at like a 138.
Yeah, you know, Rod, I remember in 1999, nobody said the stock market could go down. And then in 2012, 13, 14, everyone said that interest rates had to go up. It just doesn't always make sense. And that's why you need to be widely diversified and have, you know, some asset allocation and some, you know, percentages towards equities and some percentages towards fixed income. Rod, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about dividends and the power of dividend reinvestment. You and I came across some really interesting information. I'm just going to keep you a few more minutes, but when we come back, we're going to talk about that, and then we're going to get into the value of dividends over long term as we're talking about the accumulation. That's where we're going to get to the meat of the show tonight. This is Your Money with David Hayes. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Your Money with David Hayes. Doug Hughes live in studio. Jim Inman is sitting here to my right. Jim, really
hanging.
Glad to have you here.
Thanks, brother.
Rod Holloway is on the phone. Rod, let's talk about dividends and dividend reinvestment on stocks and some of the extra return that people actually get through that. You know, there's a lot of charts out there, a lot of different ways to read growth and investments and things like that. But you know, when we talk about dividends, it really is a very crucial part of overall long-term growth, isn't it?
Oh yeah, definitely. And it's something that you realize over a longer period of time. If you look at the power of dividends over a 1 or a 2 year period, it's not all that impressive. It's the long term. You start looking out 10 years and the number is that roughly 10 year number that the performance just a little bit under 50% of the total performance for a dividend paying stock is due to the dividend, not just the appreciation of that. So that's pretty strong there. And then you had mentioned the dividend reinvestment. If you're reinvesting those dividends back into the equities at the same time, then that compounds that even that much more and ends up becoming something greater than 50% of your total return. Now, of course, that is partial appreciation because you're buying more shares and those shares appreciate. Those additional shares give you more dividends. So it's just that compounding effect. Most people always think of compounding in regards to the old savings accounts and the more money you had in, the more interest you gained off of compounding. You don't get that compounding interest in the investment world from bonds, but you do get a similar effect, a positive return effect, when you're talking about the dividends coming out and then reinvesting those dividends. Now, of course, many of our clients today, due to the ultra low interest rates, have to use those dividends to supplement their income. So they're not necessarily in a position to reinvest those, but they're using them for income. But no doubt people that aren't quite in retirement or don't need all of the dividends for monthly income, then reinvesting those dividends back into the stock market is definitely a positive way to go over the long term.
Rod, you know, Jim is here, and I remember when Jim and I did a program about, it was just an investor education type program. We talked about all the different ways that you can calculate returns. And when we talk about really with equities in particular, starting out, there's really three levels. There's price return, there's total return, and then there's total return with dividends reinvested. And those are the three different ways to view how you've actually done with an investment. And there's one example that we looked at, and that's with the SPY. And over a two-year time period, the reinvesting of dividends really made about a 6% difference in the total return. But over 10 years, the dividend reinvestment made were about 38% of the total return in those accounts. As an equity manager, what are you guys looking for? I mean, is it price return? Is it total return? Or is it total return with reinvested dividends?
Well, it really depends on the individual client, where they're at in life, and what their objective is. Young people that are in the accumulation phase and are saving money, dividends isn't necessarily the route they want to go. Typically, with dividend-paying stocks, you have a little less appreciation. Now, of course, you add that dividend on top. It's not that it's a bad return. It's still a solid return. But the young person who has time on his side and can be a little more aggressive, typically that thought process is, hey, give me a growth company that rather than give me my cash back at, say, 3.5% per year rate, why don't you reinvest that into more growth? Why don't you buy growth companies? Why don't you invest in new products, new services, new technology so that the stock grows faster? So for the young person, the person who's wanting to really grow their wealth and has time, maybe even the retired person who did a great job of saving and has some excess dollars that they don't need to use to generate income can do that. But most definitely, as you get into retirement, you near retirement, then that dividend becomes a great supplement to the overall income so that that way you're not locked into only generating monthly income off of your bonds and your fixed income. You can be more diversified, you can have a balanced portfolio, and generate income from both sides.
Fantastic. Rod, we really appreciate you calling in tonight, and we hope you have a wonderful evening, and I'm sure that you'll be up to bat on a radio show coming up here real soon.
That sounds good. You guys have a great show.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Rod. See you, man.
Jim, let's talk a little bit about accumulation. That's what the second half of the program is going to be about. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. You know, I'm a reader a lot, and I read a lot of white papers, a lot of surveys, a lot of interesting things that are going on. And for the second year in a row, working Americans are on track to replace 61% of their income when they retire.
Just 61.
61%. That's kind of where we're at.
Is that an appropriate number? Because you have a completely different lifestyle and a completely different need set of when you're retired that typically than when you are employed.
Exactly.
Hopefully you have your home paid for.
Right. So what's beginning to happen is as these surveys continue to come out and different think tanks are doing all this analysis, they're interviewing, they're surveying, they're finding out, what we're coming up with is that we need to be a saving nation.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get back to saving money. And we've heard David say this a lot on the radio show. We are a yo-yo economy. You're on your own.
Right.
And that's honestly where we are at right now. You're on your own. So I'm gonna delve into a little bit of this as we go further today, because we need to get back to the basics of learning how to save. 61% of your current income, if you were to ask someone to sit down and write down what they make and to withdraw 39% off of that, could they make it on that? Jim, most people are going to say no. And the reason why is because what happens is we have life around us, and saving hasn't been a part of the life around us.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, we've been spending more than we save. Now, the good news is people are on a better track. They're doing better today than they were doing prior to the big crisis that happened in 2008. People are more, they're more cognizant of saving money. But they just, when I read some of these numbers, you're going to find out they just don't know where to save. They don't know what to attack first. And so they're almost in kind of a deer in a headlights mode as to how do I get this thing and go forward with it. So it's a very interesting time in our country, so much so that the president started what was called the MyRA to force everyone to be able to save into a retirement plan.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of 401ks now are beginning to move. And if you're listening, listen close to this. 401ks are moving to an accelerated contribution plan where you have to elect not to increase your savings. Otherwise, automatically, your savings to your 401k increases by 1% a year, because they're just beginning to realize
that. You better be hoping that there's a pay increase as well
from
the employer.
Right. Jim, we have to take a break, and I know that we're getting ready to go into the news on the bottom of the hour here, but when we come back, we're going to get right into some of these key findings from HSBC Bank and Putnam Investments. Welcome back to Your Money with David Hayes. This is Doug Hughes live in studio. Jim Inman.
You guys have better music than I have on the Bloomington Review. I need to talk to somebody about this.
Well, I had nothing in that.
James, your wonderful producer, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have to talk after this. There's a meeting involved. But that's okay. Right. I'm happy to be here. Just threw you off guard. That's all good. Accumulation.
Yeah,
sir.
Jim, let's
not that we had any this morning in the snow.
Not yeah, you're a little bit bitter about that, aren't
you? Just a little bit, but that's okay.
You know, Jim, when we look around the financial landscape of America, the things that are on most people's minds right now are paying off debt, getting the kids ready for college, preparing for that financially, and retirement.
Right.
So there's different numbers out there, and every time you read the different financial websites or you read little blurbs, you get scared, you get nervous, you get joy, you get elated, you know, the everything tends to be a little bit different. But we want to take some time to talk about accumulation, where people can be accumulating money, how much, and kind of what is hindering people and some things that they can do. So the reality is this. The reason a lot of people have a hard time imagining accumulating money for retirement, for example, and that's primarily what we're going to focus on, is it's a moving number. It's a big number that seems like it's 20, 30 years away. So they'll always have an opportunity to do this later.
And the people who argue that statement, then you can usually say, well, remember when XYZ happened? And you're like, oh, that wasn't that long ago. And then you can say, that was 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so time does accelerate the older that you get. And so it is an argument, but there's a counter argument to that.
There's always a counter argument. But the reality in today, as we're in the yo-yo economy, is that everyone needs to be saving some money.
Right.
Now, there was an old rule years ago that people would always say, if you made a dollar, 10% tithe or charitable giving, 10% to the retirement plan. If you do that, invest balanced type portfolios, then guess what? 30, 40 years down the road, things are going to be wonderful. The reality, though, is, Jim, is that since a lot of people don't take the discipline to do an emergency fund, then they put money into their 401k, into their IRAs with the best of intentions. But somewhere along the way, they have to withdraw. They have to take a loan. They have to take money out and do certain things to conquer some of those debts. You see, like you want to say something.
The
about
infamous
that.
Doug Hughes line of when your financial advisor it becomes your roof.
That's right. That's
when
right.
your roof is managing your finances, that's a problem.
That's a problem. And that's where a lot of people typically end up. So a savings plan, when we talk about accumulation, I want to begin by saying establishing a savings plan with liquid dollars to be able to pay for the expenses that come out of nowhere, like the roof, like the transmission, like the refrigerator. The list could go on and on and on there. Most people do not, and I'm not talking about people who are struggling. I'm talking about people who have money. The most absent thing in most portfolios is that liquid bucket to be able to draw for those other emergencies. Once those things are established, and any reasonable or responsible financial advisor is asking that question. If you're working with someone who's not talking to you about the what-if money, then you need to move along. Once that is established, then all of a sudden we have these choices. We have a 401k or a 403b or a 457, all numbers that come through our workplace. We have IRAs. We have Roth IRAs. We have different vehicles by which we can save. Here's what's happening to the average worker. More than two-thirds of working people now, 69%, are worried not just about having enough money to be comfortable in retirement, Jim. They're worried about running out of money.
Mm-hmm.
So when you begin with the process by saying, I don't want to just accumulate a certain dollar. I want to make sure I don't run out of money, which really means I don't want to run out of income. The dialogue begins to change.
I think also the fact is that people from our generation in their 30s and 40s need to realize that they probably will not be retiring at 60, 65 years old simply because because of health advances, you can usually work longer, you're living longer. So that's part of it, but you don't, you've got to realize that the stopping point may not be where you think it is, nor where you might always want it to be. You may have to work an extra few years. You may have to work part-time after you retire from a full-time position. And there are benefits to that also. Simply keeping your mind active, earning a little bit of side income, keeping you socially engaged as well as financially engaged, there's a lot of benefits to working afterwards. We've had a variety of folks on the show talking about volunteering and part-time work after you retire. That's a good thing. So it doesn't mean, I know you've talked about it, David's talked about it, everybody at Comprehensive, retirement is not a vacation.
That's right.
It is a whole different mindset. It's not when you clock out that last day at 5 o'clock and you throw the key to the boss and say, see ya, peace out, I'm rolling. When you get up Monday morning, no, you don't have to go anywhere, but you still have to do something.
Right.
You cannot go lay by the water in the beach unless you are so independently wealthy that you would like to adopt myself and Mr. Hughes. Then we'll talk.
There you go.
So you have to be cautious of those things.
Right. And so the point we're trying to bring out in this segment is that the savings for emergency is vital.
Yes.
The next step is forecasting this plan. And where we have really made mistakes is this idea, I have to be a millionaire, I want to be a millionaire. When really, in deep down, people are really saying, I don't want to run out of income. I do not want. So the backdrop changes, not from just numbers and returns. It's what am I doing? How am I accumulating my money to make sure I don't run out of money or slash income through my entire lifespan? And this becomes a different discussion altogether, because when you begin thinking about these things, you really begin to realize what risk is out there. And so if you don't have a current accumulation plan, you need to run, not walk, but run to someone's office, get online, find a reasonable investment counselor or investment planning website, and really dig down to the numbers.
Right.
What do I need to accumulate? And it's not just the static numbers that come out there, but what really is happening. For many, many years, Jim, we were always trained, if you save 10%, you will be able to retire just fine. Well, I remember reading a book not long ago that said if you're saving 5%, you're going to be less than comfortable in retirement. If you save 10%, you'll be comfortable. However, let's take a step back. Is comfort what really people are after? Or is it the ability to not run out of income? And this person's point was that 10% has actually now ratcheted up to maybe 15 to 20% to ensure that you're not going to run out of income. Because here's the thing. A lot of these projections and accumulation numbers that are out there are based on 10% returns. Well, when we look at the latest Cowen charts from 2004 through the end of 2014, that 10 years, asset allocation models, Jim, provided about a 5.2% average annual return in 14, but a 6.7 over those 10 years. But the highest one of those top performing asset classes gave us an 8.8% return over the last 10 years. So the question that everyone who's accumulation has to ask is, what is a reasonable rate of return? Is 10% still the number? Jim, I know you got
to
go.
Thank you for being
with me here on the program.
Happy to be here. Happy to be
here.
And
when we come back, I think Mr. David Hayes is online. He's going to join us. Have a great weekend, and I hope you don't get to see any snow.
I would like to see a little bit, but we'll see how it goes. And Mr. Hayes, you are in good hands with Mr. Hughes when he gets you back from the break.
All right.
All right.
This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back to Your Money with David Hayes. Doug Hughes live in studio. Mr. Jim Minman has left, but Mr. David Hayes has called in. David, how are you?
I'm doing great, Doug. I heard you're doing an outstanding job on the show. I appreciate you sitting in for me as I'm on business for the next couple of days. So I appreciate that a great deal.
Oh, absolutely. We've had a really great discussion. We had a little bit of Super Bowl discussion, but we didn't stay long there. And Rod came in to tell us a little bit about the markets. They've been on a kind of a wild ride. And so then we kind of moved into the discussion that you and I have been having quite a bit here over the last couple of weeks. And that's just about, you know, the accumulation part of someone's financial plan. So much has been written and said about the distribution side. And a lot of people are focusing very closely. But, You know, what are people doing on the accumulation side, and what kind of things do we see out there? And very interestingly, David, there's a few different investment firms and some people who do surveys that kind of send us this information. And I was sharing with Jim that for the second year in a row, Americans are on track to replace about 61% of their household income in retirement. And that's maybe not where they need to be.
Well, if it's on a net basis, it's probably okay, but on a gross basis, that's not going to work. And most people aren't saving enough money. I mean, that's the fact. We have a retirement crisis in America. Everyone knows that. These automatic enrollments that people are part of are a complete joke. A 3% automatic enrollment into a lifestyle fund, that's not going to get you there, folks. Unfortunately, you're going to have to step it up. We're in a yo-yo economy, which stands for you're on your own. You got to put a 10, 15%, include your employer match into that. Get out there if you're young, invest aggressively. If you're older, maybe you scale it back a little bit. And, Doug, the problem is education. I mean, all they hear are things that are on the major media, and they're not getting the information that they need. And they're not being engaged. You know, most people plan more time on their vacations to Disney World than they spend planning their retirement.
That's exactly right, David. And I read a recent survey about people who were close to retirement. They were in the last 10 years of retirement, and then the people who were in the first 10 years of retirement. And over 64% of those people surveyed said one of the biggest mistakes that they made was they didn't begin accumulating money early enough.
Well, they, you know, just... all of our clients, Doug, that have accumulated a nice amount of wealth, they didn't have high-paying jobs for the most part. They weren't sophisticated investors. Just from an early age, they started saving, and they stayed out of debt and spent within their means. And that, I think, is a very simple approach. And that's why I think folks think, gosh, I'll never get there. But the formula is very, very simple. It's not that difficult. And in America, we have so many ways to save money. The 401Ks, the 403Bs, the IRAs, the Roth IRA, simple, SEP, I mean, you name it, all kinds of vehicles. In fact, most of those come directly out of your paycheck. So it's out of sight, out of mind, because another trait of Americans will spend every single dime that we have that comes into our household. So if you don't have it coming into your household in the first place, you're likely not to spend it.
David, two key places where people in this same survey that I was reading and some of these white papers I've been coming across in my research, two key places that people are really struggling with is, one, they just have such a hard time figuring out how or where whether they should pay off their mortgage first and then begin planning for retirement. And the other one is 32% of working people say they cannot prepare adequately because they're paying off other debts. And, you know, we've had this conversation on the program so many times. It's just so hard to accumulate wealth when you're paying debts every single time you get paid.
You know, I think a lot of people run the mistake of saying, okay, once I have this finished, then I'll do that. And they never get around to doing it. And the debt continues to roll higher and higher. Maybe the kids all of a sudden need something. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was on my way to Tennessee with my younger brother and my son, Will. And my younger brother, who has adult children, one of them is now 20 and one's 21, the daughter called him on the phone. And he looked at it and said, oh, no, it's Emily. And I said, why? And he goes, well, hold on a second. He answered the phone. And he answered it this way. Hi, Emily. Hi, sweetheart. I really can't afford to talk to you right now. And he hung up the phone. So a lot of people get into the trap of continuing to help these young adult children. It's so hard to say no, and I understand that, but do not do this, and do not continue to enable at the detriment to your own retirement. That's a big problem we also have. It's the problem of generosity and kindness, and we're all that way. We all want to help, and it's really hard to tell your kids no.
Yeah, and David, I want to highlight something else. A lot of people, and I found this to be very interesting, a lot of people simply put, the reason they didn't prepare adequately or the reason they're behind in accumulating for retirement assets, it's not just the debts, it's not just the mortgage, it's not just not starting early enough, but there are a number of people who have said, and it's a very large percent, about 38% of people said they didn't know how much they needed to save. No one ever sat down and said how much, because we've been preaching this 10% for years and years. Well, if the markets or the investments don't give you the return you need, or you've taken a lower risk profile, or you just simply didn't save the right amount, accumulation is almost impossible in that regard. I was so fascinated to hear and to read that 38% of people who are struggling and wondering about it just simply say it wasn't the debts or early enough, it was, I didn't even know how much to save.
Well, it's almost like you don't go to the doctor because you're afraid of what they might tell you, and so you just continue not to go.
Right.
You know, and you're right. We talk about 10%, 15%, like that's a good rule of thumb for everyone, and that's not the case. If you're young and starting out, sure, 10 to 15% is probably going to get you there because nowadays we don't have pensions. We don't have Social Security that we can count on like the older generation. So, you know, you need to step it up. But, hey, if you're 50 and you're just now really starting to save, here's what happens. You get into your early 50s, your kids finally start to leave the home, and now you focus on paying down your debts and saving for college. It's just, you can, we're very predictable, we're very habitual in how we do things as Americans, and it's factual. This is just the way it works. Well, here's what happens, and you've seen this too, Doug. If you're a two-income household, all of a sudden we start seeing one of the paychecks being saved and the other one being used to live off of. So you're not saving 10 or 15% as a 52, 53-year-old. You're saving 30% or 40% of your household income to get there, and that's just the way it has to be. Now, granted, we're all living longer. Maybe we push out that retirement age a little bit. There's only a few moving parts of this thing, how much you save, the rate of return that you have, and how long you're going to work. I mean, that's pretty much it.
Absolutely. And Dave, you know, when we look at the statistics about people who have worked with an advisor and people who have not, one of the great values of having and engaging a financial advisor is to help you to be able to go down the path of how much you need to be saving. Not just look at this return, look at that return, not how did this do during this market or that market. Really, a good financial engagement for services looks at the accumulation as to how much someone needs to accumulate, what they need to be saving for the unknowns as well. Can you speak to it for a moment just about the value of an advisor in the accumulation side, not just the distribution side?
Well, yeah, and you know, we make our living on the distribution side for the most part, but you have to accumulate it for us to help you on the distribution side. You know, I think what we can do as advisors is help you identify the things you don't even know that you don't know. And you just said it. We're all focused on retirement. What about educating your kids? What about having a fund to pay off that mortgage? There's a lot of different angles that you have to take with an advisor. But here's the way that we boil it down. What is your net take-home pay? You know, that's what everyone uses to live off of. It's not your gross. And all of these rules of thumb is, oh, you need 70%, 80% of your gross income. I think that's out the window. You have to look at what I put in my pocket every single week or every single month. Then you gross that up for taxes. The only taxes you pay in retirement, folks, is federal and state income taxes. I'm in the great state of Florida right now. There is no state income tax. You only pay the federal side. So maybe that's the idea. You all move down to South Florida, and then you don't pay state taxes anymore. But then, Doug, after you add in the taxes, then you start taking off, okay, am I fortunate enough to have a pension? That's fully taxable. Am I fortunate enough to have Social Security? Most of us will have that. We take that off. And then whatever that remainder is, that's what needs to come from your investment. So I think, and I'm actually being counterintuitive to what everyone has heard on the news, I think sometimes the number that you're focusing on is overinflated. So once you see the TV show or the commercials where people are carrying around those gazillion-dollar numbers under their arms, it's probably overinflated. And, Doug, that's probably why people don't actually sit down and calculate this thing, because they know there's no chance, and heck, they're going to be able to accumulate a zillion dollars. So I think they sit down with someone, they can really do the math on this thing, encourage them, keep them accountable. You know, I used to say this, if you're trying to quit smoking and you had a carton of cigarettes laying around the house all the time, the only person you're accountable to is yourself. But if someone else was holding those cigarettes, and every time you needed a cigarette, you had to walk up to them and say, hey, I would like to have one of those cigarettes. But you had told me not to give you a cigarette. You're probably going to be less likely to go up and even ask for it. So that's one of the things that a financial advisor can do, is help keep you accountable, Dougie.
Absolutely. And you know, David, one thing we'd like to offer out to everyone, if people are interested in knowing about the contribution limits in 2015 to their plans, you know, maybe there's someone out here listening, or maybe their children or someone they know who don't even really know how much they're allowed to save. Give our office a call, 812-334-3190. We have the 2015 contribution limit information, and we'd be happy to get that to people, because one of our good friends who's been on this radio program before, and Dr. Jeff Rosenzweig, told us in 2008 on this show, the smartest people today are saving more money than they've ever saved. And we want to help people get that money saved and in the right spots. So
that's
if
exactly
you want
right.
that kind of information, give us a call, Comprehensive Financial Consultants Institutional, 812-334-3190. David, we need to take a break, and when we come back, we'll wrap up this show, maybe a little tidbit about accumulation, a little bit more of that. And then also, Dave, we want you to talk about the shows that are coming up in the next couple weeks. We'll be right back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Doug Hughes live in studio. David is joining me by phone. We've all heard the story about the person who just saved from the young age, and all of a sudden they accumulated a lot of wealth without even really trying. We also know that real life, a lot of people get started and they stop and started and they stop, and they never really get back on an accumulation plan. This is what this program was about tonight. A couple key takeaways. Start saving early. Know how much you need, maybe one of the most important things. Understand your time horizon. Expect the unexpected, so make savings part of your payment plan for a liquid bucket to be able to cover emergencies. And please, please give us a call at Comprehensive Financial Consultants, 812-334-3190. If you are uncertain or do not know what the IRA, 401k, whatever retirement plan you have in front of you, contributions are, and begin putting an accumulation plan together from where you're standing today. It will make a difference in 1, 3, 5, and 10 years for your retirement. David, give us an intro as to what we have coming up on the program next week and the week after.
Well, looking really forward to next week. A couple other guys from the office, Wayne Thacker and Ryan Belcher, both the very seasoned veterans in the area of public employee benefits. So if you're a PERF employee, if you are a school system employee, if you work for the county government, if you're a federal employee, if you're in the FERS system or the civil service system, these guys are going to come and talk to you about your retirement benefits and how it all coordinates together with your Social Security and your investments. Because, Doug, you can call your human resource person, and they can give you the details about how your pension is calculated, how the elections are made. But the coordination of all of the benefits, most people don't have that information. Wayne and Ryan will be with me next week to discuss that with all of those folks that are in that public sector. It's going to be a great show.
It's always a great show. Those two guys do such a great value and such a great service to people who have that kind of retirement profile. David, thank you for calling in. Rod,
thank you, Doug,
for calling in. Jim, thank you for being here. And everyone, thank you for listening in. Have a wonderful weekend. This is Your Money with David Hayes.
Discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Guest opinions on this show do not necessarily represent those of the radio station, David Hayes, or CFCI. You should always consult with an investment professional before making important investment decisions. Investment advice offered through CFCI, an SEC-registered investment advisor, 674 South College Avenue, Bloomington, Indiana.